The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See you live off the record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Bahamar, City of Hope, Printmasters, RF Bank and Trust, Southwest Plaza, and Star General Insurance Made Simple.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are, as always, 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 4796. That's 4224796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So let me give you the lay of the land. Today I have a special guest at the beginning of the show to talk about a special event coming up, and then later on we're going to speak to a number of issues in the current. I have the one and only executive VP, University of the Bahamas, Professor Dr. Ian Strawn with me. How you doing, sir?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Brother Lang. I am no longer executive vice president.
Yep. Yes. Forgive me. Forgive me. I forget changes. Yes, I forgot yes. Changes have been afoot. Yes. Foot. So, yes. Still former executive vice president. Vice president.
Yes.
Former
yes,
executive. Yes, sir.
Yes, yes,
sir. It's a pleasure to have you on the show today, man. We got to make it a point to have you come on a little bit more frequently because there are so many things to talk about and to learn about.
Absolutely. Okay. You'll be happy to.
We're going to make it happen. But you have a special event coming up, the Future of Democracy event is coming up. And before we get started with the event itself. The Bahamas is a democracy. Why?
Well, democracy suggests or is characterized by the fact that there are free and fair elections. People are able to offer themselves for public office. We have a representative parliamentary system. People have the opportunity to offer. People are free to vote. People can vote for independence. They can vote for parties. They form governments, and they do the people's work, and they report. They meet in the parliament, and they pass laws for the good betterment of the society. And of course, there's a expectation that after a certain period, and different countries have different periods, 4 years, 5 years, 7 years, that they go back to the people for another mandate if they can attain one, or someone else, or some others who have been vying are successful in their stead. And so we are a democracy.
I'm glad you made that last point, because people sometimes miss the very fundamental dynamic that takes place at election time. Some people would like it to be more frequent, but this is the reality. So at election time, so we say in governance, in government, in governmental theory, that the power of the state The sovereign power of the state resides in the people.
Yes.
Not Dr. Ian Strawn, not Trivago Lang individually, but us together, we have the sovereign power of the state. And that by virtue of our constitution, we delegate some of that power to the executive, we, the people, some of that power to the legislature, some of that power to the judiciary.
Yes.
But at election time, all the power is returned back to the people. That's really what's happening. And say, what do you want to do with it now?
Yes. I mean, of course, there are, what's the word? That power is dispersed in different ways. As you pointed out, you have three branches.
Yes.
But ultimately, when you consider the power that's vested in the prime minister and his cabinet, certainly the people are the ones deciding who they will let hold that power. That is there. That is there.
Even if every 5 years or however long the people decide to keep it, that power is given to the cabinet, some, to the legislature, some, and to the judiciary. They say, well, how the judiciary, you don't give them power. Yes, to the extent that the judiciary is appointed by the executive some element of the executive, you are affecting that as well. Because if they make different choices, they get different choices in the judiciary.
Yes. Yeah. And that's not something that we do a good job, I think, of teaching, right?
Yeah.
In our schools, so people understand it. We are so inundated with American information that we are probably more better versed, some of us, with the American processes than we are with our own. But it's just a variation on the theme, you know? That's what democracy
is. But we are a democracy. Sometimes I listen to people and they debate that, but the extent to which you got universal suffrage in this country and anybody can stop you from going to the polls, et cetera, to vote and vote how you want, you are democratus, meaning you are people rule.
Yeah, and of course, that's something that we had to, if you know our history, that had to be fought for.
Yeah.
That had to be fought for over decades, So, at a certain time, certain individuals got to vote more than once and others didn't vote at all, right? So, you know, women couldn't vote. People had company vote. There were a lot of agitation and protest and effort to bring about reform over the last 100 years. So the Bahamas of 1920 and the Bahamas of 1925 and the Bahamas of 2025 are very different. So we are certainly more democratic than we would have been 100 years ago. Absolutely, very much so, right? And we should be proud of that. And we're not unique in that way, right? So this thing is, democracy is something which evolves. And you see, for instance, even in the large and most powerful country, not the largest, but certainly the most powerful country in the world, where they've had to make amendments to their constitution, to live up to the vision and to the language of what America is supposed to be, right? Challenges to say, well, you know, we're not living up to that. We're all created equal, but we're not all equal. Those types of processes. They too didn't have women. Women didn't have the right to vote in America and other parts of the world, et cetera. So I think there's a lot to, we've come a long way. And the question of the conference is, can we get better? How do we get better at democracy? How do we get stronger democracy? How do we get better governance? How do we get more people involved in the process of bringing about good outcomes for our nation? Right? So that's really the spirit in which we started having these conferences, and this is the fourth one that we've had. And I'm very happy to say that you presented at one of these before, and we're very happy to have you do that. And so here we are again convening to think about how we can have better government, how we can have better representation, how we as citizens can play a part and be more satisfied that our resources are being used responsibly and ethically, and then we have the best chance of being the best country that we can.
You know, when I saw the term future, the future of democracy, I had an instinctive reaction to it to the extent that, what's wrong with Obama's democracy? You know, what do you mean about the future of democracy? But you know, the United States used to be the beacon of democracy for the most part, arguably. Yeah. And I remember a couple of years ago, Barack Obama in an interview saying that we ought to stop taking for granted that democracy is just automatic,
right?
And that it will just be self-sustaining. But right. The truth of the matter is, it can be a fickle creature, no?
No, yes. I mean, if you think about the world today, and the different ways that countries are organized, it's not a given that democracy will be the mode or the model used, right? So there are many examples where, for instance, you have one party system, you have different kinds of, you know, dictatorships, you have, and of course, as well, you have leaders who emerge and who begin to peck away or erode or outright attack the principles of democracy that even got them elected, right? Of course, in ways that would benefit their sustaining power and others who share their views keeping power. So it is something where vigilance, those of us who have been fortunate enough to be born in societies where this is the way we govern, and I think it is the better way to govern, to be governed, we have to be vigilant. We have to be vigilant because some people can come along and of course, you know, it varies and you have different cycles, but you can have weaker democracy or you can have stronger democracy. You have weaker institutions and stronger ones. And certainly you see in the case of Trump now, his attacks on the free speech of others, the way he's the pressure that Pereira civil servants and professionals and experts are under to maintain the independence of their organizations within government, right? That is a major issue in the United States, and I there are issues like that in the Bahamas too. So what we hope is to have good conversations about, as I said, how we get stronger, how we get better, because I do think there's a lot to be thankful for. But nothing is set in stone. Nothing is permanent, as you said. And you can always be better at it. You can always get better at it. Doesn't mean that you're going to create, you know, paradise.
Right.
But you should certainly try to make sure that the people's tax dollars go toward the things they need most of all, that the people's money is not squandered, that, people can have a voice and feel included, and that people are not marginalized, as much as possible, that there aren't private groups that seem to benefit more from what government can provide than others based on what? Based on their affiliation or some privilege they're able to buy, but poor people can't buy those privileges. Is that fair? Right? So you're just trying to think about how we could be a better and stronger nation, really. And do it in a nonpartisan way. So our goal is not to get people to vote one way or the other. That's not our focus. Our focus is let us look dispassionately at where we are and how can we become better at what we do.
You know, one of the things that is instructive to me about democracies and how they can begin to fail or weaken is that the democracy itself delivers you up some leaders, right? In a very orderly, cooperative fashion in many instances, right?
Yeah.
But once you give them that power,
yeah,
if they choose to do undemocratic things with it, it's a nasty affair to fix the problem.
Yeah. Yes. I like to give example, because again, like you, I spent most of my life, and because it's right in front of you, right? looking at the American model as one that we should try to emulate, that they got a lot of things right. Not everything, but a lot of things right. But again, I like to give the example, even in our own country, the things that seem common sense that we should do. It certainly would seem in common sense in America, for instance, that you should have gun control. that you should want to know if someone else is mentally well before you sell them a high-powered rifle, right? And you've seen so many examples of innocent people being slaughtered because someone who wasn't well got access to a gun and then opened fire. But despite the tragedies that have happened, legislators in America seem totally unwilling or incapable of bringing the situation under control. Whereas in other countries, it's just taken as common sense, right? So the question is, what's missing? What is the role of the citizen in making sure that representatives do actually what you want them to do? Because most Americans support gun control.
That's the point that I was going to make is that foundational to the very essence of democracy, most people in the high 70s, 80% would want some sensible controls in place, but their electorate ignore them.
And this is
we've seen an example of this in the Bahamas. People said, no, we don't want legalized gambling. You had a referendum to that effect. And the elect and the vote and the political leadership said, we hear you, but no.
Yes.
You can do it anyhow.
Yes, that's true. That's true. I mean, let's put it this way. Certainly there was a referendum or a plebiscite, and the majority of those who cast a vote said no. I don't really know where, and I don't think we've measured it in a while, where people really stand on it today. It would be interesting to find out.
That's a different matter of today. We don't know what the deal is today, but we know what happened at the time.
That's exactly right. You're right. That's a perfect example of it. And I think, and there are others, you know, and that's a tension too, though, right? There's a tension there. should a sitting government do something that is unpopular with the majority because it is seen as respecting the human rights and freedoms of all, even though in your particular country, it is not something that the majority want. In other words, the international community says, this is the standard by which we ought to be governing our societies. But in your individual society, for instance, women can't go to school. Women can't drive a car. Women can't hold down paying jobs. You see what I'm saying? So that changes by culture to culture. And what is the obligation of a government in a situation like that?
I think in that example of the gambling, as for instance, is this. So if you want to govern because you believe something is fundamentally necessary for you to do. So if for whatever reason you fundamentally believe that something is right to do, then rather than put the question to the people and then ignore their answer, just do what you believe is fundamental. Because to do otherwise is to have a kind of poke your democracy in the eye.
And in that case, it felt like a failure of leadership. You wanted to hide behind that, or you wanted that cover. If you felt it was the right thing just do it. And you have time to walk it out. And if the people at the end think you made a mistake, then they let you know at election time.
We have to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk some more about the details of the conference.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back right after this break with Dr. Ian Strong.
We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Yeah. boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action. A 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where we're speaking now with Dr. Ian Strawn from the University of the Bahamas, who is leading with others the organization of a conference, very important conference, the Fourth Future of Democracy Conference, Social and Economic Justice and Political Accountability in the Bahamas as a broad theme of the conference. Now, Dr. Strawn, the conference isn't a one-day conference. It's happening over several days, no?
Yes. So we start next Wednesday, October 1st, run to Saturday, the 4th. Free to the public. Anyone is free to come. It's going to be held at the Harry Seymour Library Auditorium for the first 3 days. And then in the Franklin Wilson Building on Saturday the 4th in the RBC Auditorium. And it's a wide range of speakers. We start at 10 every morning. And we have a wide variety, as I said. We have ORG, we have Equality Bahamas, we have Kenil Curry, Marion Bethel, Sean McQueenie, Danny Davis, myself, Indy Martin, Noel Nichols, Aaron Green, Erica James, Keisha Ellis, a wide variety of topics being discussed. And I think that citizens can come out, individuals of interest can come out, listen, participate, ask their questions. There'll be Q&A after, you know, every presentation, and you can be a part of the conversation. These will be video recorded and made available later. So if you're working and you can't make it out, not to worry. There is a website, fodc242.org, where you can go and schedule and who's speaking when and what the topics are. That's fodc242.org. And there's a YouTube channel where we've been uploading previous conference presentations, and we will continue to do that. And then we'll upload also the new ones as well. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. We also have Dr. Meredith Weiss from University of Albany in New York, who's coming, and she's giving keynote for us on clientelism and global politics, or what we more commonly think of as patronage in politics. She's given a keynote on the evening of October 1st at 6 p.m., Meredith Weiss. Now, she specializes mostly in politics in Asia, but she's kindly agreed to come and just talk about clientelism generally as a concept. And I'm pretty sure people will see parallels with our own version here in the Caribbean and in the Bahamas. So yeah, looking forward to this event, and people could come out, as I said, free of charge, and participate, listen, and let your voice be heard.
And y'all aren't even starting off with any kind of softball. Right after the opening ceremony, Danny Davis is giving a talk, "The Bahamas Needs Another Pandemic." Y'all ain't been trying to ease nobody into this.
No, I deliberately did that. I deliberately did that. So let's start
You think?
Let's start off right away. And yeah, provocative title. Obviously, he doesn't want us to. I'll give it away. Some people may know Dr. Davis is a colleague of mine, a chemist, professor by profession, but he played an integral part in our fight against COVID-19, actually, stepping out of the university and going and being an integral part of the strategy to try to get people inoculated. So his lessons learned from that, I think, are part of what he's trying to focus on. It's really a talk about whether we are really using behavior and talent properly. I think that's really what his talk is about. So it's going to be, as I said, there'll be some very lively presentations. We're also showing our two films, actually, as well, that I think have some relevance to the Bahamian situations. I think we'll see some parallels in those. So that's, one is about land and one is about housing, two big issues in our country today. So I'm using the United States context, but I'm sure people will be able to see parallels. And so, you know, we're talking about as I said, a wide variety of issues. And I think that this is healthy for us to create space where we can have these conversations and listen to the ideas that get shared.
Wide variety of topics. I don't think there's a soul in the Bahamas who won't find a topic that that resonates with them. We got one somebody, Equality Bahamas will be providing a presentation on feminist standards for governance.
We got
Ken Clark will be providing AI and better governance talk. We've got Marion Bethel, who's going to be providing the right to self-determination democracy in the Bahamas. We need the future prospects of constitutional reform. Is y'all ever going to have another?
That's a good question.
I'm telling you, so there's all, every day, there's a really a potpourri of subject areas that really, for all these people who call these talk shows, writing and all it, man, listen to me. That's the place for you to be. That's what it sounds like to be.
Yeah, definitely. Dr. Robin Roberts is going to speak on healthcare and justice in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to that talk.
You know that's a real thing, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Listen to me, man. I had a bout with prostate cancer, and I can tell you that had I not had health insurance, I don't know how I would have approached my issue the way in which, given the way I did, you know, because so much of how I did depended on having the means to do so.
Yes. Well, I mean, you go on. I don't
want to
interrupt you. Go ahead.
No. And I said, listen, I got the bill for my radiation treatment, brother. The radiation treatment over 2 months. And the bill was $250,000.
Oh, my God. Wow.
This ain't the other treatments now. This is the radiation treatment.
Wow. So again, we are a democracy. We are a government of, for, and by the people, right? We are one man, one woman, one vote. As we call it, universal suffrage. Elections are to be free and they are to be fair. And what we want our government to do is to treat us all equally. And then there are these things called rights as citizens, as people who live here. Do we have a right to health care? Do we have a right to access to good school, to good roads, clean water to drink, electricity, security, good housing, to these things, right? And then how do we get that, right? How is the government supposed to deliver that? Well, it's got to collect taxes. And in some instances, if you look at our history as a country and our many islands that are spread out that need to be have infrastructure, is the tax base enough to pull that off? Or do you then need to grow?
And are the taxpayers willing to pay the base necessary to pull it off?
Yes. So again, it's governance is not easy. You've sat at the Ministry of Finance and you see just what there is to work with. I've been in executive leadership at a public institution. Governing is not easy, right? And there are competing demands. How do we take care of all of our people? The issue of health is a big one. Again, we are not a healthy people. No. We are not living healthy lifestyles. No. And so a lot of us are getting sick. And if you don't have the money to pay, if you have advanced cancer or even early cancer and you don't have insurance to pay for it, is that a death sentence? Should it be a death sentence, right?
And that's the reality. Sometimes you're not dying from your disease, you're dying from your inability to afford to treat it.
Yes. And so how do we, is that the kind of country we want to live in? Is that the best we can do? And how do we get there? These are not simple issues, and other nations are struggling with it. This is one of the biggest things that Obama, for instance, tried to accomplish. And as soon as Biden stepped down, you see a tax on it, right? So many millions of people not covered by health insurance in America. And so these are the difficult issues that as citizens we have to wrap our mind, because eventually governance is going to affect each bad governance or good governance. We're going to have one or the other. It's going to affect our lives. If we don't think our child is going to be safe on the bus, then we got to walk with the child, or we got to make sure we have a car, right? If we don't think the school is going to be safe or give the child a good education, we got to go pay for private school education. If we don't think Grammy's going to get good care in the public hospital that we pay for with taxes, then we got to go find more money to put her in a private facility or let her see a private doctor. There are consequences if governance is not going to meet our expectations. Either we will suffer or we will, well, no way you look at it, you're going to suffer, right? Either you'll be lucky enough to be in the class where you can absorb the suffering, or you'll become a casualty. I hate to say it, but that's the reality.
This text says, hello, Minister Lang. Where can I buy Dr. Strawn's books?
Oh, okay. Thank you. My books are available at Logos. They're available at the Chapter One Bookstore, University of the Bahamas, a Deep South Bookstore. You can find them at those locations and also at the Pompeii Museum.
So here's the beauty of democracy right now. Here's this statement. The problem is democracy. Man was created to be ruled by a king, and that king is Jesus Christ.
But Jesus
ain't here right now. So what do you do?
So again, free speech is one of those rights, right?
Fundamental exactly.
That person has a right to their view. That same Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, right? So at the end of the day, we need a country, we need a state that allows that person to have their belief and allows others to have other beliefs.
But speaking to their thought, Jesus is not physically running countries now. So now what do you do?
Right.
So you have to do well, something. So
for some people, it was supposed to get up. We're supposed to get off the hook on the 23rd. And
well, that was the other day.
We
actually have some callers on. We have some callers on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, gracious, you should miss Lang. Guess how you doing?
Good man, good.
Right on. Hey, I have one question and two statements here for your guest, right? Hey, Doc, question, right? Okay. Mm. Cancer was around from 300 to 3000 BCE. You know how long ago that was? We can't cure cancer. We got rid of COVID in 1 year flat. And we can't get rid of this wretched disease. This has to be by design.
We didn't get rid of COVID, bro. COVID still exists.
Yeah, but second thing, right? How come a lot of doctors don't believe in herbal medication? And third statement is, right, I think that most of our problems with cancer, right, is actually self-inflicted. Do you realize if we could fry water and eat it, we do it? We love fried food and highly seasoned food. We love 3 to 4 plates of meat on our food. We love at least 4 starches on our plate. So I think a lot of things, our eating habits, contribute a lot to this wretched disease.
That's the science we support you with.
One more thing before I go, right? Why is healthy food so expensive and garbage food is so cheap? You don't think if the government could find some way to lower the cost of healthy foods that it will assist on and try to curb our eating habits? A lot of people have for breakfast potato chip, hot potty, and Coke soda. If you put that in your body for a 30-year span, right, what you think would happen? Obviously, you can get cancer.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Zhivago. How you doing, man? And salute to my boy, my good doctor. And author.
Afternoon.
Just to get his kingdom himself. Listen, just listen to your contribution today, and it's powerful. I just want to say that the healthcare system needs to be more unified. Right now, it ain't unified. We have too much different agendas and being on one page, as I've been quite frank and honest. All right? You have one body called the National Health Insurance Authority, whose focus is preventative care, primary care. Right? And that's where we got to start, because we ain't going to be able to save everybody. But we need to put things in place whereby we can help people prevent themselves getting these various cancers and diabetes, these CMDCs, right? NHI is a program that's in place trying to address that from the beginning, all right? And some people can't afford, a lot of people can't afford health insurance in this country. Which is sad. I used to be in the insurance industry, and I could sell insurance. I can tell you, you have a lot of people out there trying to buy health insurance for themselves, and then they want to try to cover their children, but they can't afford it. So they're holding on to these little piece of jobs where the company paying for the insurance and still trying to include their dependencies under their program, and it's very, very expensive. The caller before me said, spoke to the point, the fact that it just food costs in this country is crazy. Worse, healthy food costs. So, I mean, what do we do? So, we just have a dilemma that is just very hard, and we just need to get everybody on the same page. And I don't think we all on the same page just yet. We're getting there, though. That's the encouraging thing. We're getting there, but we're just not on the same page just yet.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. This text says, tell Dr. Strawn I asked AI if it was worth it for Sean McQueenie to come and speak. AI told me to give that time slot to another speaker. No more wreck or random anything time
slot. Well, AI is often wrong. So this is just one more example of why you shouldn't depend on AI.
Anyway, so October 1st to October 4th, the Future of Democracy Conference from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock, is it?
5 or 6, yeah, depending on the
Depending on the speaker. And free of charge, no cost, no charge. You get to listen, learn, discuss, dialogue, you know, and at the end of the day, perhaps some thoughts, some ideas come up that help us move the thing forward, no?
Yes, hopefully so, definitely.
And this is what the University of the Bahamas exists to do, is to bring this kind of high-level discussion, dialogue into the various issues in the country, and that's what the Future Democracy Conference is doing. One more time, the website people could go to get more information?
They can visit fodc242.org. That's fodc242.org. And that's where they'll see the schedule.
All right. Well, we got to get you to come back for sure, because some of the callers mentioned things were worthy to be talked about and discussed too. Let me just say this to people. I expect healthy food per item is maybe more costly, but the truth is healthy food does not need to be eaten in a bunch. What we typically think is that, because people don't realize you have to eat a lot of junk food because your body isn't getting the nutrition. So it keeps craving more. But when you eat healthy food, you don't have to eat a lot of it. And so you balance out the cost with the quantity. You see what I mean? It is expensive. I'm not arguing that. But if I eat a spoonful of spinach versus a spoonful of heavy rice, that my body is going to get more satisfied, even if my taste bud doesn't, more so, and the rice can cost me more over time than will the spinach.
and less is more anyway. We need to be
exactly. I was going to say that the Bahamians will learn less is more. That's the Japanese way.
Centenarian
way.
Oldest, they live longer than anybody.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you for having me on, man. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate your coming on, man. We'll connect again.
All right. Thanks so much.
All righty. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
I'm breaking out of this cage. I'm standing up. I'm going to face my demons. I'm manning up. I'm going to hold my ground.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Marcus Samuelson, Dario Zucchini, Simeon Hall Jr., and Scott Conant, alongside a vibrant lineup of chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. From curated tasting events to beachfront feasts and immersive gallery experiences, this is more than a festival. It's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage.
John's Shoes and Accessories September sale has begun, and you don't want to miss out on the greatest savings event of the year. 25% off items for men, women, and children, including appliances. 15% off brands like Timberland, Skechers, Steve Madden, and more. And don't forget John's Careware for 25% off nursing, hospitality, and chef uniforms, as well as John's Fashion for 25% off women's fashion clothing. Shop big savings with John's Palmdale or Carmichael Road from now until September 30th. We put fashion at your feet.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands. In all seasons.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us on 422-4796. You can call us on 323 6232 or 325-4316. From the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So, you know, yesterday we were talking about the labor numbers. And, you know, I mentioned how politicians respond to these numbers. It isn't surprising how the opposition responds, and then also surprising how the government responds. But let me tell you all something. And this young minister is growing in, I think, growing in favorability in terms of her performance in politics to me and to some others, right? But if you want an example of how to respond to a what might otherwise be regarded as a negative statistic when you're in government, if you want an example, if any one of you government ministers want an example, look at the example set by the Honorable Pierre Glover Rolle in responding to the recent release of the January Labor Force Survey. She's the Minister of Labor and the Public Service. And while the Guardian's headline says that she hit back at the jobs report, that was not what she did. She wasn't hitting back at it at all. But she gave an excellent response to it. Excellent response. In that, in the face of it, she said that it does not accurately represent the current state of the labor market. An absolutely fair comment to make, because it's 9 months later. Now, she does not have in hand statistics for this period, but she goes on to talk about why she feels that it doesn't now accurately reflect the current state of affairs. She ain't questioning the people number. She didn't say, oh, that 10.8% ain't accurate and they must got to go back and do something. No, she didn't do that. She said it doesn't accurately reflect the current state of the labor market. She said, according to the Guardian's article, she said that the survey conducted in January and March reflects cyclical contractions within the labor market due to seasonal layoffs. Absolutely, it could be true. Remember, I talked about that. Construction, you measured a rate in the third, fourth quarter of the last year. Construction projects may have been going on. The construction guys are working. Then the construction projects finish. You go and measure it again in January. Well, they're not working right now. So what's going to happen? The unemployment rate is going to go up. And the same thing could happen in that you could have new projects come on stream, and then you can have a decline in the unemployment rate. So what she isn't doing is she isn't day trading. That's what she's not day trading. She's looking at the numbers, being reasonable about the numbers, and saying, well, you know, other things have evolved and may have evolved since. Says, while this has contributed to the increase in the unemployment rate, it also signals confidence in the economy and an increased desire among Bahamians to engage in the workforce. Again, true. That's what happens. As a matter of fact, it's kind of counterintuitive, but discouraged workers, actually, when they decrease, when you get a decrease in the number of discouraged workers, it's because they start seeing possibilities in the economy and start looking for jobs. So that now they go from being discouraged workers, who don't get counted in the unemployment rate, to being unemployed workers because now they're actively looking for work. And so, again, someone who is showing the depth of insight into what is happening in the economy. And so I have to commend the minister for showing the way to do it. She wasn't politicizing it. She wasn't denying it. She wasn't trying to cast aspersions or doubt on the numbers from the Department of National Statistical Institute. She simply took it head on and said, yes, but this is 9 months later. Hundreds of openings exist in our Department of Labor database that we have been unable to fill. The real challenge lies in building and aligning skills with opportunities on offer. I mean, and prescribing solutions. Kudos to that young minister. She's been impressing me, I told you guys, for some time now, and she continues to do so. She's showing growth and maturity in her leadership, and you know, great potential. They're being shown by her. But if you want to see an example of how to do it, that's one way to do it. That's one way to do it. These knee-jerky reactions to things because, oh, it ain't look favorable for us, or, oh, this one time we could go pounce on the government. That might sell to some people, but reasonable people, thinking people, intelligent people, you know, they want more. They want more. And this minister on this occasion certainly demonstrated that more. And kudos to her. Kudos to her. They say reality is what doesn't change when you look away. So don't make no sense. You fight reality. You just confront it, own it, name it, and see what you can do about it. And that's good sound leadership. Good sound leadership. I'm gonna wait and see how others respond. But maybe if they're wise, they'll leave it right. So here's another good example of leadership, I think. A good example. So you'll recall that the Honorable Glenys Hannah-Martin was opposed to the Royal Caribbean International Project on Paradise Island. You remember that. It was one of those things many talked about because she, despite the cabinet's approval of the project, she was quite vocal about her opposition to the project. And which is an odd thing for a cabinet minister to do, is to publicly express opposition to something that the cabinet in fact approved. But you know, the minister was acting prime minister on Tuesday, and the minister congratulated Royal Caribbean International on its, in quote, vast achievement over the years. And she did so on behalf of the prime minister, but she also did so on her own behalf. Okay, so this wasn't just her saying, okay, I'm going to tote the party line, the government line, and just say what the government asked me to say or the prime minister asked me to say, but she said on her own behalf. And so in delivering her speech, she talked about how innovative Royal Beach Club was, how through Philip Simon, a Bahamian who led the development, how they had embraced so much Bahamian involvement in the project, and you know, and the engagement of Bahamians to the tune of some 500. And all that kind of stuff. And so she said, the government of the Bahamas is watched with great interest and pride as one of our own sons of the soil, Philip Simon, has led the development of the Royal Beach Club project, taking the vision of the brilliant innovator and visionary Jay Snyder and team from dream to blueprint to reality, and doing it with an all-Bahamian management team and all Bahamian contractors. And so the Prime Minister sends his congratulations, and so do I. And so here's a minister, you know, who quite vocally objected to a project. Now seeing the project unfold as it did, seeing people live up to their commitment to using full Bahamian talent and leadership in the process, and has the presence of mind and the courage and humility to say, listen, I congratulate you. And I congratulate you on behalf of the Prime Minister, but I also do so on my own behalf. She didn't explicitly say I changed my mind, blah, blah, blah. But everything about the comments suggests that she has had a change of heart about the project and how the project has evolved. And this is, I remember when I first read this and thought that it is an absolute truth that we should obey. The Bible says, and wisdom is justified of her children. Listen to it again. You want to hear it again? The Bible says, wisdom is justified of her children. And meaning that sometimes you have to let the product of a thing, you have to let the results of the thing, you have to let the children of a thing justify the thing and substantiate the thing for what it is. Sometimes you telling people what you're going to do, what you're trying to do, ain't enough. They don't believe you. But then when the results come, then they get to see it. And so kudos to Minister Hannah Martin for acknowledging that these folks had done. I know Philip Simon, and I can tell you, he is a top-notch son of the soil. You hear me? Very professional, decent, Bahamian who wants to do right, who wants to make a contribution, and who, you know, he takes his stuff to heart. And I remember private conversations I had with him about the project and, you know, sometimes the doubts people had about the use of Bahamian talent and all that kind of stuff. And I listened to him speak about it. It's just me and him. And you can hear the sincerity in with which he said, he was saying, listen, man, I told these people, I believe that we should keep our word. We should do what we say. And so said, so done. So said, so done. So once again, these lady ministers, demonstrating great character in the conduct of their duties, insofar as I am concerned. In these instances that I am alluding to today. I saw something the other day where someone was commenting on the impact that Celebration Key in Grand Bahama is having. Actually, it was the Chamber of Commerce's Grand Bahama Chamber of Commerce pointing out that foot traffic has been down 90% since the opening of Celebration Key, saying that there's nothing happening at the harbor for tour operators. He says he sees it as a short-term issue, but a significant one. I think that, and so like Celebration Key is a beautiful development. Gorgeous, you know, it's hiring hundreds of people. It's given some opportunities to a number of Bahamian vendors. I do not know at this time how those vendors are faring. I don't know how the arrangement and terms between them and Royal and Carnival Cruise Line is working out. I don't know that. I know that it's having an impact, economic impact, but you would think, right? I mean, you'd think that it would have made Grand Bahama feel, in terms of economic experience, noticeably better. Noticeably better. But it has not. It has not. Now, we could go and blame the development, right, and Carnival Cruise and them, right? But I don't think that that is what needs to happen. I think we really need to study the situation. I really believe so. I believe that this requires study. It need to see in a very real way, and I'm telling you this because, you know, this is something we're going to do. How this model impacts an island. Now it's been just a short while so far, so you know we don't have a significant time scope for evaluation, but this is a good time to begin to track what is happening, because someone may present this to us again in the future. Another thing we should find out. Same thing should be done for Royal Caribbean project on Paradise Island. We need to understand and know how these projects actually evolve and play out in the very real lives of the people of the Bahamas for our learning, for our understanding, because that will arm us with negotiating tools, with better collaborating tools and so forth and so forth, and get the impact that we want, man. Right? Because what's the sense of doing anything if we're not going to get the impact that we need and want, if in fact we could do something better to get that? Again, what I'm saying is don't go. You know, I know what the tendency is. Start cussing this one, start cussing that one. People start texting, oh, these politicians don't know how to negotiate nothing, etc. Blah, 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 blah. As if they are some expert in negotiating. As if they know and in fact have the details. You don't know. What we need to do is study. What we need to do is get ourselves real information to know. Because as it now stands, you remember when Atlantis came? The impact Atlantis had created a point of pride, both for the government and for lots and lots of people. And that's what solid projects do. They create a point of celebration. Grandmama Island, y'all living Grandmama who listening to me, those of y'all who listening to me and Grandmama, you listening to me wherever you are, then Grandmama listening. Are you celebrating Celebration Key? I'm going to ask you. Not if you work in there. I know some people working there may be. But generally across the island, are you celebrating Celebration Key? Are you saying, boy, so thank God Celebration Key is here? Text me, call me, tell me. Tell me. Tell us. Because maybe I'm experiencing something you're not experiencing. Or maybe I'm not experiencing something you're experiencing. Okay, this text says, Mr. Langhanna Martin is in no moral position to complain about initiatives or programs because she promised to deliver a unified bus system from her time as transportation minister. I don't know what that has to do with her acknowledgement of anything. I don't know what that has to do with anything at all. And ministers don't deliver nothing in and of themselves. A government does. It's a good day, Mr. Lang. Boy, those compliments towards those female PLP MPs will swell up Anton's head. Yeah? Yeah? When his head shrinks, if I say something different, then no problem. So, Mr. Lang, I too am impressed with the Honorable Pia Glover role. I am a public servant for 27 years, and she has revamped the public service. I honestly have not seen the benefits owed, the promotions and everything being paid what was owed in terms of waiting until December. I will wait because she has done much good, okay? But you see, your much good is tied to some personal benefit. I'm talking about her response as a minister. Because this is what we do, you know what I mean? You're good if you do something for me, you're bad if you don't do something for me. That's a little different than commenting on how people are doing their jobs for the benefit of the whole. Even though you said she revamped the public service, I don't know about revamping it, but, you know, I know that she's trying to do some things for sure. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break and we'll be back after this break.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by a quality product that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Daniel Boulud, Marcus Samuelson, Dario Cecchini, and Simeon Hall Jr., alongside a vibrant lineup of Bahamian chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. And don't miss an electrifying live performance by global superstar Lenny Kravitz, headlining the festival's welcome party on Friday, October 24th, with a concert experience you won't forget. This is more than a festival, it's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage. Bahamar. Life spectacular.
John's Shoes and Accessories September sale has begun, and you don't want to miss out on the greatest savings event of the year. 25% off items for men, women, and children, including appliances. 15% off brands like Timberland, Skechers, Steve Madden, and more. And don't forget John's Careware for 25% off nursing, hospitality, and chef uniforms, as well as John's Fashion for 25% off women's fashion clothing. Shop big savings with John's Palmdale or Carmichael Road from now until September 30th. We put fashion at your feet.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the number's 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. If you want to call again, please give us a call on 323-6232 or 325-4316. By the way, I see the season is starting to heat up with disturbances out there. So they have some systems emerging that they're continuing to watch that could develop into storms, tropical and or hurricane over the course of the weekend. So, you know, you all ought to pay attention. I mean, you know, of course, you know, the weather people provide us with good guidance in this regard. So I'm not trying to alert you to anything dramatic, just noticing that activity seems to be picking up out there. And we're not alone in this regard. I had a couple of friends who traveled to Hong Kong who got caught up in what they call a super typhoon. Typhoon is like a hurricane, and they had to deal with it. So every point on the globe has their own issues to deal with, just like we do. And when you live in a belt, you know, you got to confront these things and be aware and be responsive to them. Can I make a confession to you guys? It's a very real confession. I never used to give a second thought to commenting on anything that happened or happens in the United States of America. Never. There was a time ago in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you get mad at me if you want, when I and others would think to ourselves, buddy, if you say X, Y, and Z, the government of the Bahamas, politicians in the government of the Bahamas, might come after you. By either by what they might do or by what they deprive you of. When I was a young man and I gave a speech, to the FNM convention. Someone said to me, you will never work in the Bahamas again. I was a young man then. That was under Selinden Pinden. As a mature man, I was told that some high-ranking politician's brother told them, Shivago Lai never work in this country again. This is when that high-ranking, then there was the government. It's me now. a former FNM minister. That's what I was told by a FNM relative. That's what was told to somebody by an FNM relative of a high ranking FNM government official. So it happened under two administrations, two different political parties. So there was a time when I would think twice about what I said. Didn't stop me from saying it. And I have friends who would have had similar experiences. Darren Cash would have been one of them, who we would have all been told. You all know you all on them people hit list, right? We've been told it because we would speak our minds, even though we knew there could be a price to be paid. I never felt that way about speaking about what was happening in the United States of America, whether I agreed or disagreed with something that was being done. Until today, until these days, I have to confess. When I have a reaction to, when I have a thought about what I see happening in America, and I see many things happening in America that concern me, I am and have had real concerns. Some might even say petty concerns about voicing them. Because I don't know. I go and show my passport and people them say, you guys are many. But I thought to myself too, that ain't right, man. That just ain't right, man. That just ain't right. That's where I live now. That's how I'm living now. Why? Why is that the case? Why is that happening? This is my very real experience today. Can you believe it? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. No, you dropped. That's a serious thing, man. Very serious thing. That fundamental rights, fundamental things are being eroded to make us fearful to say, wow, I don't agree with that. Wow, did you see what happened there? So it isn't just a matter of happening in somebody else's country, you know. It affects us all because we all move in this fluid, once fluid, globalized world. You have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon, Bahamas. You know, I'm sitting here listening to you, Mr. Lang, and I'm shocked to hear you saying what has happened to you.
You're shocked?
Yeah.
You're shocked?
I mean, you were connected.
Being connected, you know, doesn't stop petty people and people with power tripping issues to deal with you. Not at all.
But I mean, I know what happens. Like for me, I feel as if, as a Bahamian, I'm the most victimized Bahamian in this country. And that's basically, you know, certain things were denied to me. And see, my thing is this, Mr. Lang. If you're speaking out on the socioeconomic issues, all we're doing is brainstorming, you know. And that's about it. But when you're talking about getting personal with people, if I would attack you and get personal with you, I can understand you coming after me with all your might on the planet. I would have deserved that. But if I'm talking on children's issues, talking on the socioeconomic issues, and because your government ain't, you now decide to step down from your lofty tower to come after me. That's petty. you know.
Well, okay. I don't want to claim victimhood on my part or victimization per se. I use that to set up the concern I have about how I now react to what is happening in a country who I really, really highly regard, you know, and really, you know, because people don't come on air and say what happens to them. Because people don't, we have to stop assuming we know people's stories. We really do. Okay, you know your own story. You don't know what's happening to other people. Do you know I had a contract with the Grand Bahama Port Authority at one point? I had a contract. And because I wrote a column that was not always favorable toward the government, do you know that that contract was terminated at the BS of the government?
That's mind-boggling. And I mean, to a lot of people, not just me.
So all I'm saying to you is, we don't know anybody's story. Just because they don't say it, we don't know. And it doesn't matter who you are. Sometimes when people have decided, who have power to affect your life, they do so. And there are men and women throughout the history of the Bahamas and independent Bahamas who can tell you how their families suffered at the hands of political leaders, whether it was the FNM or PLP. People might say their stories on either side.
That's sad, Mr. Nye.
And living in that kind of world, that's not the world I want to live in, where I'm intimidated in that way.
Well, I support you. I support you in this, and it's sad. You know, see, because the reality is, we are too small of a society to be behaving the way we're behaving. You know, I would have led the charge in this country. I would have criticized the U.S. government and our government, successive government, for the issue. I was addressing the issue of children. But the U.S., they were state political and economic officers in the U.S. embassy. They were very, they didn't develop any sense yet. They worked with me, and we were able to get the Child Protection Act passed in Parliament. And I was recognized for human rights in 2006. But today, since that legislation has gotten passed, as a law-abiding citizen, in this country, one who would have demonstrated how to be a good citizen, I've never been invited in this country in 23 years as an advocate. Never been invited to sit on a youth advisory council, the child protection council, any government board, or anything. And people told me on both sides of the political divide, very soon you will have to beg for bread to eat in this country. But it didn't deter me, because at the end of the day, you're not taking nothing with you when you go. So when people hear me on radio speaking, they may think, oh, Cleveland looking for fame or looking for pocket. No, that ain't the case. It's just that I'm trying to do as much as I can for as much people as I can before I leave Planet
Earth. I understand. But I mean, okay, I understand. But that's not the theme of what I'm really now dealing with. But I understand. I appreciate you calling. Yeah. Appreciate you calling. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. We have another caller on the line. Okay. This says, we don't need to go to the USA. We can live without the USA. Life exists outside the USA. That's true, but that ain't true for me. But again, I'm not even suggesting to you that I will not say what I want to say, because I may be denied entry into the United States of America as a matter of political reprisal. What I'm saying is, the fact that I have to think this way is a new reality for me. And it is based on no shortage of evidence that that is possible. Okay? That's what I'm saying. So, but I do not want to lose the ability to go to the United States of America. I don't. I don't have to. I don't have to go there. That's true. I don't have to go there. But I don't want to lose that. But I will not either not speak to an issue that I believe in because of it. But the fact that that reality exists today is a different thing than I have ever known about that country. And that is really something. Really, really something. Zai, Mr. Lang, how do you know the column you wrote was tied to the termination of the contract? Did they explicitly say this is the term? Yeah, absolutely, man. Come on. Please. 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 Come on. When you are who I am, there are people who talk to you in confidence to share with you what has happened. So ain't no doubt about what happened to me. In fact, the late Honorable Obi Welchcombe indicated to me what was the deal. And this ain't nothing even new. I spoke at House of Assembly about this. Ain't no doubt about that. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good day, Mr. Lang.
Yes, you know, how you doing?
You know, I came in late, but I heard the piece where you were talking about things that were said to you as a youngster growing up under, the Pilden era. And, you know, I feel the same sentiments. Now, I didn't give a speech, but I lived in a house that was, I guess, headed by someone that considered himself of the other party, but that was there back then before the FNM. Mm. And she lost her job because of her political affiliation.
Her okay, but you do know that I also gave an example of what happened to me under an FNM administration, right?
Yes, I heard that too.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
It goes on both sides, but for me, when I was a youngster, I'm about maybe 3-4 years younger than you. But for me, when I was a youngster, I said what I say, you know. I did. Because I felt like there would have come victimization, like I said, because she lost her job. Her employer was threatened because her employer was from a foreign country. And her employer was threatened if they did not let her go. You see? So I understand where you're coming from, and today it seems like this is like 10 times the for now in the U.S. what is going on compared to what was going on for me, how I felt back then. I am literally afraid to say anything negative when it comes to the U.S. or anyone that is in power today there, because I feel like it will come back to bite me.
Yeah, it is a different feel. People are now hesitating to go on these social media places and express their thoughts and views freely. It's a different world.
It is.
Mind you, the people who might look negatively on what you say will say all manner of things about you, cuss you, call you this, call you that, call you asshole country, and they no problem.
No, you understand? So it's like, I mean, I'm afraid for the U.S. because of how it seems like things is going, and, you know, every single thing happens, the crimes that happen seem to be politicized, and I fear that there, if something's not done, you know, sooner rather than later, they may have internal war. You know, because that's how I see it going. If you keep trying to pin one side against the other, then you're going to lose innocent lives in the process before you catch yourself. You know, you work hard to get where you are. So, you know, we work hard. We're not way up there. But I think this is the best little country in the world for me.
What?
I would hate to see us get to the point where we try to turn one set of people against the other.
Thank the Lord for the Bahamas. It's home. Thank God. No question about that. I that's why we gotta protect and preserve what we got to.
Yes.
And if they bring us to our knees, I will eat hog plump. I'll drink coconut water and I'll fish in the place.
And then I'll find some rainwater because at the end of the day, coconut water can run your belly.
Yeah, not if you eat it, not if you drink it in stride.
All right, sir.
Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate you calling. It's Texas, Mr. Lang. The U.S. is unrecognizable these days. Never in a million years would I have thought that the U.S. was in danger of becoming an authoritarian country, says that text. This text says, I know, but it's now run by a racist. I don't know what anybody is and their heart and so forth, but boy... It says, I'm not surprised your case. As for America, I perceived what is happening now, and I don't want to sound pessimistic. I perceived it will get worse. So good evening. Just joining the show. Very interesting. I suffered at the University of Bahamas. PLP government says that text. I know. Very well, and mention the University of Bahamas. You know, University of Bahamas, I applied for a job at the University of Bahamas, not the one I now have. I applied for another job at the University of Bahamas. When the PLP was in office, I applied because I thought to myself, well, the University of Bahamas is an autonomous institution. They have a law that governs them, etc. This job that I had applied for, though, was something that was being collaborated with the government. But I applied for it. I did all the interviews with everybody else who was contending for the same job. I did it as a normal citizen of the Bahamas, went to before these people, fielded all their questions, etc. And they decided when the PLP was in office, they decided Shivago Lang is the man for the job. And that was their recommendation. Then the government and the F&M came to office. I kept following up at the University of Bahamas on the job. And the University of Bahamas kept saying to me, well, we're waiting to hear from the government. The government. Who was the government? The F&M. It's the government that died, right? Nothing. When I checked with the F&M government. The F&M government. You know the F&M government said to me? You save that for another time. I didn't get that job under the F&M government. I got a job which the University of the Bahamas wanted me for, which had nothing to do with the government. Okay, I heard... Anyway, let me leave that alone. The things you hear people write and talk about is just amazing. The ignorance they have about matters. But one day, if they force me, I tell the whole story. We should not live in a country where anyone is intimidated because their view is what their view is, their position is what their position is, and their support is what their support is. They should not fear to have any position, thought, or support getting in the way of their ability to have a livelihood in their country. We should not live like that. Or that their government would victimize them. They should not live in any country like that. That is absolute ignorance and idiocy. I don't care where in the world it is happening. You are an evil person when you do that. When you are in a government and you are doing that, you are an evil person. Yeah, you hear Shivago Lang say, you are evil. You are evil and wicked if you do that to people. Use your power to abuse the very people whose power it is that you are using. I had a person who supported me in government. And they were, they had not worked for a long time, but they had also had some skills which were required in a department. And there was a need for such a skill. And it was something that could be contracted. And I recommended them for that position. And they got the position. And the government changed. The government decided not to renew their contract. And they called me and asked me about it. I said, but bro, you got that position because you and I were connected in a way I thought you could do the job. And so I gave that position to you. So in a very real way, it was a politically connected posting that you got. If a new administration does not want to keep you, I don't have no problem with that. Because they may have another person who's qualified. They may want and prefer to do the job. I don't have a problem with that. So I told him I didn't have any difficulty with that. I didn't think you'd be victimized because of that. Now, they were then applying for another job in the private sector. Had nothing to do with the government. And there were threats suggesting that the government was not going to allow them to get that job. I told them, now listen, I called someone in the government and I told them, if you all decide to deprive that man of this job in the private sector, you will have hell to pay. Because that there is victimization. Don't give him don't renew his contract, no problem. He got it because of me in the government. But on private life, thankfully he did get the job and that was not a problem. It's nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. And people who cover for these people, people who support these people, people who say, don't think there's not anything wrong with that. You are wicked with them. You are evil with them to be doing that. Grow up. Stop being childish. Stop being wicked and evil. It's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And then expect people to respect you? Respect what? You see that Hubert Alexander Ingram? Colleague of mine. I might have told you all this before. During an election, said, you know, y'all gave this to a PLP supporter and that can cause me to lose my candidate, my thingam. And I talked to Ingram about Ingram, said, did you give it to them fairly? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, what's the problem? The colleague did lose too. Because we had a government, you know, the government, you serve the people, man, and try to do it with fairness. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. God spares life. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Have a great evening.